This We Believe, number 2. These doctrines are the major teachings of the scriptures that Seventh-day Adventists believe around the world and have believed from the beginning. Lesson number 1 is entitled, The Great High Priest. Jesus is both priest and high priest. And we are invited in our memory verse to consider the one who has been sent, the apostle, who is our high priest of our manner of life. While God made every provision for grace in promises, in teachings, in symbols, and types, he felt the necessity for having a person represent him and live with his sons and daughters here on earth, ministering with them and on their behalf so that they might fulfill the divine design. Part number 1 of the lesson deals with the erection of the tabernacle and then the temple. After God had brought the children of Israel from Egyptian bondage to the foot of Mount Sinai, he purposed to educate them, and for more than a year they were there learning through Moses, the divine representative, the various teachings and laws and purposes and covenant of God. The Lord then invited his people to make him a holy place, a sanctuary, a place of holy meeting where he might dwell among them. The word dwell is the root of the word Shekinah. The Shekinah was the visible manifestation of the presence of God. Now God wished a tabernacle, a sanctuary, to be the visible manifestation in which he purposed to dwell. It was made portable because their life was a life of pilgrimage, and where he led them, there his tabernacle was to be. He wished to show them that his presence never left them alone. In order to enable them to build the tabernacle, he showed to Moses a pattern. Now this word indicates a miniature model of what he wished Moses to construct. In the teaching concerning the erection of the temple, later on by Solomon, we are informed that David gave to his son Solomon a blueprint, as it were, of the temple that he had seen in vision through the inspiration of the Lord. While these tabernacles and temples were the earthly place where God dwelt, nobody either in Moses' time or Solomon's time believed that this was the actual dwelling place of God. In fact, if we will read very carefully Solomon's prayer at the dedication of the temple in 2 Chronicles chapter 6, we will discover that no fewer than 9 times does Solomon turn the minds of his people through the prayer from the temple to God's dwelling place in heaven. And he says, when the people come to the temple, hear thou in heaven thy dwelling place, and listen and pray and judge and restore and send blessings like rain, render every man his own way upon himself, listen to the prayers of the servants, give victory in the end, and release all prisoners from the bondage of sin. So the vertical thrust of the temple and the sanctuary must never be forgotten. God's dwelling place, his sanctuary, is in heaven, as Jeremiah said in 17:12, the place of thy sanctuary is a glorious high throne from the beginning. So the earthly tabernacle is a type and symbol of the heavenly tabernacle, of which Jesus Christ was the high priest. Every part of that tabernacle was to be a finger pointing the pious, observant, insightful worshipper to aspects of the plan of salvation. Psalm 29, verse 9. Every whit of it speaks of his glory. Now, while the details of the tabernacle had been given, God sent a priest to explain and mediate and atone and pray for his people. And he chose the tribe of Levi, and from the tribe of Levi, he chose Aaron and his sons. And Aaron is called a saint of the Lord because after his tragic fall, he entered into the new covenant relationship with God through the sacrifice of Christ. A saint is defined in Psalm 50 and verse 5. The inauguration and consecration of the priest is very important. In Exodus 40 and Leviticus 8, they were given. Notice the verbs. The priest, Aaron, was taken, selected by God. He was then disrobed, indicating that the old man was away. Then he was washed, regenerated. Then he was dressed, the ordinary priest with four garments of white linen, and Aaron, the high priest, with five others. Then he was anointed, his ear, his thumb, and his big toe, with both blood and oil. And finally, his hands were filled with the sacrificial victim. So, as to his character, he had the white robes. As to his function, he had the five golden garments. As to his ministry, he was anointed by oil and blood. And then, his total thrust, his hands were to uplift the sacrificial victim. So we, as representatives of our great high priest, must have our hands filled with Calvary. This high priest, as he is a representative of Jesus Christ, the true high priest, is recognized by Paul to be perfect in every respect. He is on the throne of God in the very heaven of heavens, a minister of the true tabernacle, which the Lord pitched and not man. And he offers, too, gifts and sacrifices. Those gifts are non-bloody, and the sacrifices are bloody. And these two he presents, Eucharistic and sacrificial. Part number four. In order to be a high priest, he must be like his brethren. Jesus Christ took upon himself the nature of humanity. Hebrews 2, verse 14 to 17, should be carefully studied. He took all aspects of weakened, fallen human nature, yet without sin, to prove that that human nature, by the infusion of divine grace through the ministry of the Spirit, could win out in every conflict. Christ's body was the battleground of humanity, and thank God he demonstrated that he could gain a victory. Part number five. He is our intercessor. That is, he appears in the presence of God on our behalf, and he appears in the presence of men on God's behalf. He ever lives to make this two-way bridge. He is the ladder that connected Jacob's troubled pillow with the throne of eternity. He links man to God. He is the mediator, the go-between, who can take the hands of both to uphold and build weakened, fallen humanity. Part number six. How should the believer respond? What should we do? And the divine inspiration is come boldly to the throne of grace, on which Jesus Christ is now seated, and there obtain mercy, because this throne of grace is also the throne of mercy. It's the mercy seat. And it's the place, the source from which grace, the divine empowering to fulfill whatever God designs we should fulfill, should come. Mercy gives us a second chance. Grace makes that second chance worthwhile. Jesus Christ is on the throne of grace, preparing to share with all the redeemed his throne of glory. We are to draw near, we are to hold fast, so much more as we see the day approaching. Now, I believe this day is the day of atonement, because if you will read in Hebrews chapter 10, verses 36 onwards, you read there of the second coming which follows the day that is approaching. The Jews called the Day of Atonement the day, Yoma, Hayom, it's the day. And Paul, in the context of the Day of Atonement in Hebrews 9 and 10, invites his people to look to the high priest, to approach God through his sacrificial death. And when that day approaches, 1844, the hour of his judgment is come. Read the verses subsequent in Daniel, in Hebrews 10. You will see that we prepare for the judgment that then prepares us for the second coming of Christ. So the purpose of our great high priest is in order to get his people, for whom he ministers and mediates, ready for the day of judgment in preparation for the second coming of Christ.